Let's hope to make a podcast and see if it saves in the end.
Yeah, I'm back.
Great.
I don't remember how to do this. We used to be so polished and practiced.
I don't remember that.
Like, it feels like riding a bike, except not, because I've forgotten how to.
Like,
you've forgotten how to ride a bike, Ben, now that you've got an electric one.
Yes.
You've got to turn your legs.
When did we last do a podcast?
We did one episode last year.
Did we?
Yeah. Dylan, you didn't do it. It was Ben wanted to do a thing about National started talking about the national policy statement.
That's right.
They were like, we're going to direct Auckland to sell a bunch of assets and there's going to be no debate. And we were like, hang on a second.
Stop them?
That was, it was always bullshit because that's not what a national policy statement does. It was always total crap.
I'm pretty sure I haven't done one since before we released Tickled. So that's at least 18 months.
Yeah, so it's definitely PT.
And
I don't think I've done one with you, Morgan, since you became a parent. Maybe.
No.
In November 2014, we did episode 5.15. Who was in that one?
That was the election.
Was it? No, because we talked about Philae Lander and Japan's hover train.
This is shit I remember.
Yeah, that sort of crap. And when before that? Do we do one immediately before that? Oh, in October 2014, we did 5.14 beef and blue cheese.
Right, so in summary, 3 years. 2.5.
2.5 years, yeah. So we did one last year, but it was very much a one-off.
Wasn't canon?
Everything on the website's canon. Even all of that really terrible mistake that I made that Ben quite rightly called me out on, basically stealing people's content and presenting as if it was ours. I've got an audience. I'm not used to this.
Sorry, I just realised I've been on mute for the last few seconds and saying and wondering why you guys aren't reacting.
Your takes aren't hot enough, Ben. Are we making an episode now?
I think that we've started and it's going to be real clumsy and we kind of have to ban ourselves from editing it to make it appear as if we're still polished.
Right.
Don't worry, I feel like it.
I don't really feel like it either. I'm not even going to run the pause shortener in Audition.
So the interesting thing is, in the time since we've recorded, all news has become fake news.
The whole world exploded.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Donald Trump was even seriously in the picture when...
Not in 2014.
Not at all.
Not even remotely.
Not even in the last one we did.
That's pretty amazing.
God, no.
You know, very often people post a picture of, like, Donald Trump sitting behind the desk in the Oval Office with like Kid Rock behind his shoulder on one side and Ted Nugent or someone on the other side. And it's just like, I can't believe that this is the world that we live in. You know, it doesn't feel real.
It really doesn't. Like everything from Brexit through to Trump, through to fake news.
It feels like there's this big part of the world, the Western world, that has been totally left behind and they're prepared to smash everything apart just to express their dissatisfaction.
But the internet's enabled it, right? Like, this is possible because, like, people who were this disaffected before, no one listened to them. Yeah. And now they amplify their voices to the extent of being some sort of movement.
Yeah. I read something quite interesting the other day about how Donald Trump is thanks to all of those deplorables that came out of Gamergate.
Yeah,
because they kind of organized. They all kind of found each other and coalesced into that hideous cohort, you know.
You see people like Chuck Johnson and a bunch of the alt-right guys are all, you know, it's the same names from Gamergate.
Yeah, it is interesting to me that basically it's... I used to laugh at the trolling and bullshit on 4chan and Reddit. But then it's kind of been interesting to realize that there are people, it's not all trolling and all kind of getting a rise out of people. There's actually an element of it which is, I don't know, this is how they work.
Yeah.
Well, there's something behind it anyway, something behind what they say. It's not just for the sake of pissing people off. It actually has some meaning to them.
Yeah,
which is, to me, it's absolutely, I don't know, unconscionable. It's...
'Cause, I mean, Breitbart News was the platform, was Milo's platform. Like, he was a big celebrity on Breitbart News, and now Steve Bannon is whatever he is in the White House.
So, like, it is basically as if whale oil was in the White House, right? Or in Parliament.
I think Cameron Slater is a bit more rational than some of the people.
Cameron is more competent, I think, than most of them. Like
moderately good job as a chief of staff.
Yeah, like he'd do a terrible job, but he'd still do a better job than those guys. Because they, I mean, look at how, like, the Republicans control the Congress, right? And yet, they haven't passed every law that they want to. Everything that Trump has tried to do has basically ended in a fart noise so far. Congress rebelling, like his own Congress.
Because they're fighting against...
By his guys.
Fighting against themselves.
They're fighting against themselves.
Well, no, it's just...
But then other stuff, the courts are like, no, you don't.
But, he doesn't even... It's just so obvious that none of the people who have gone into the White House, like Trump and any of his advisors, had the slightest fucking clue what being the president actually was.
Yeah.
So they're tripping over themselves.
Yeah.
You're saying.
Yeah.
Not like the New Zealand National Party, who have really got their shit on lockdown. They're just so smooth.
Oh yeah,
You know, as shit as the National Party is, I still think they're more electable than the Labour Party.
Oh, what?
Not that I would vote for them, but they're more electable.
That's what they said about Corbyn, though.
Oh, well, he came very close.
Yeah.
Well, it remains to be seen how close he came. Might still collapse. That's
true. So, in the 2 days that have elapsed between Morgan prodding us to record this episode and recording this episode, the National Party has imploded?
No, not even remotely. Todd Barclay got caught out with his pants down and nothing will happen because nothing means anything in politics anymore. Like, they've learned from Trump that if they just ignore it or don't... Like, the amazing thing about Trump is he figured out, or I don't know if he figured out or just this is how he behaves, but he figured out that if you don't respond in the scandalized way, the scandal doesn't stick. So if what should be a terrible scandal, if you just handle it by saying, oh... yeah, no, that was bad. Oh, well. Like, that seems to be an effective defense.
They didn't learn that from Trump. They learned that from Key.
Well, maybe. But, I mean, Trump is much better at it. And that seems to be, like... It's amazing how unscandalized they are by what's unfolded with Todd Barclay. Maybe they'll be more scandalized if his selection stuff also starts to really unravel.
That's right. And so there's two other parts of it. It's not just his kind of, I think, inept responses and pretty clearly false. Like, he's actually a liar.
Right? Outright. Yeah. Like, he thought he was being clever. He thought he was, a lot of the times when he said things, he was, you know, carefully choosing his words to deny something that wasn't being alleged, which is a fantastic tactic. But sometimes he wasn't clever enough and he just outright denied things that were then false.
Right, but he's also managed to bring Bill English into this and made him a liar as well, pretty clearly a liar.
Not only a liar, but a leader of a party who will tolerate a liar.
Yeah.
And if the recording was taken without Todd Barclay in the room, which we don't know yet, then illegal, criminal as well.
But then that doesn't even matter at this point. Like, the illegality of it is not an issue. Well, it is an issue, but it's not the biggest issue anymore. The biggest issue now is that he outright lied to the media. He refused to cooperate with the police after saying he would. He lied to the members of his own party in Clutha Southland. Yep.
Yep. And they're throwing him under a bus as well, because there's all that talk now coming out of, you know, vote stacking and how rigged his membership election was. So obviously
it was a bit fragile down there, and this kind of has set off a little tremor.
People are totally happy to throw him under the bus, which is kind of interesting.
But will it do anything? I'm pessimistic about politics now.
It won't do anything when Andrew Little, like, presented with the absolute head on a platter, silver, gold plated scandal, then takes his foot, shoves it down his throat by saying it's all about youth.
And like, not to be patronizing.
Not to be patronizing. It's, you know, Corbyn's just won the, you know, just not won the UK election based off the youth vote. And Andrew Little goes and says, oh, kids will be kids.
And also, he doesn't think he should resign.
That we can't trust the young people is essentially what he said.
Yeah.
Which is absurd.
It's just stunning like I say, absolute served up softball, you can win this one, and he shoots himself.
Yeah, I mean, the issue with Todd Barclay is not that he was 25 when he was elected, it's that he was an utter twat when he was elected.
He was a tobacco lobbyist, which speaks to kind of his,
Well, look, we've all lobbied for the tobacco industry from time to time.
Speaking of, I don't know, I can't do segues anymore. I was called by the Green Party tonight.
Oh, yeah? Robo called?
Yeah, no, a person. It said the number was Auckland or Waiheke, and they said, hi, so I'm just calling around people to find out what they think are the issues they want to go into the election, and are you going to vote for Green?
And you said?
I said a lot of stuff that you in particular don't want to hear about recreational fishing versus commercial fishing.
I give no shits.
And about the kind of the precariat and homeless Aucklanders, and housing affordability for all of our kids, and
kids, and what about me?
Well, the problem is that you and I have made mistakes. So
yeah, but
we,
I mean,
both could probably have bought a house if our parents had raised us to be aware that if you can afford to buy a house, you should do it as soon as you possibly can in your life.
It's fascinating, though. That's to some extent true, but
our kids haven't made those mistakes.
Yeah,
and the reason that I talk about our kids rather than us is because all of the people out there who are sitting on a house or five think that you and I, Dylan, are just bloody whining idiots, and we should have bought a house when we could. But the point is that our kids are not in the same position, right?
Yet. So the interesting thing that occurred to me in the last few months about housing affordability is my house, the house I was living in, which was renting, went on the market, and the list price, the asking price for the house was around $960,000, I think.
Right.
So this was a bonkers 3-bedroom brick and tile in a nice-ish
in outer Zambia
suburb.
Yeah.
And the insane thing to me about this was that if the next very moment I had, like, if someone just plopped a $200,000 deposit into my bank account, I still couldn't buy the house.
Yeah.
Because my income can't support the payments.
Yeah.
And in fact,
it's
to buy an average priced Auckland home, I saw someone on Twitter say, you know, with a reasonable income to debt ratio, you need to have a joint income of something like $160,000.
Hmm.
Which is, you know, okay if you're two working professionals, you know, with no kids or whatever.
Yeah.
But a lot of people aren't.
Yeah.
So that was totally nuts.
What I love is the bald-faced lobbying. So there was a proposed debt to income ratio as a way to get around it, to say that rather than a loan, what is it, basic equity value, minimum equity value, they're proposing a debt to income. And then there was, I heard an interview from the head of the Property Investors Federation on the radio saying, no, it's terrible, you shouldn't do it, because you'd put a lot of property investors out of business, which would raise rents.
Well, they also said it would. They also said it would block first time. It would block first home buyers from buying houses. So what they're saying is the only way you can buy a house is by taking a loan you can't afford.
Yeah, forever.
Forever.
Like really forever. Like how long are mortgages now?
Well, the one I think I was looking at a 35-year when I did my calculations.
35 years.
35 years, yeah.
Can you imagine? Like for the last 10 years of that, you'd probably feel like it was a pretty inexpensive mortgage. But for the first 25 years of that, you'd be like, holy shit, I can't do anything. And I've got the stress of this thing. If anyone gets sick, like if you got sick or if Mel got sick and you had to take care of her, like just think about how stressful.
Yeah, if I lost my job or my car blew up.
It's no way to live. Like I think that the advice in the States, I think, was always that your mortgage should take something like under 30% of your income.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not happening. I imagined if I bought the house, my mortgage payments would have been, I think, around $1,100 or $1,200 a week.
Right.
Which was more than twice what I was paying in rent.
Yeah. You could rent Parnell for that.
Well, I pay a hell of a lot less than that for a three-bedroom, two-bathroom, two-car park penthouse apartment in Parnell. I pay a hell of a lot less than that.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. I have Ben is probably the one of us who's far away from work, like an idiot. But I think Dylan, you're actually right to be out there because you're close to work, right? Like you're really close.
Yeah, it's really screwing up my podcast listening now because it was like I had a 12-minute commute before, maybe 13-minute commute.
Yeah.
And now it's 7.
I tell you what, I'll probably be, if I were to drive my car like an idiot, I would probably be another 10-15 minutes from work when that tunnel opens.
Right.
It's really gonna help my commute times.
Right. So is it projected to slow down your drive?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's I can't remember. I think it was Greater Auckland shared the projection graphs showing just this sea of black, which is below effectively standstill traffic.
Yeah.
Also, I guess that's why we don't need to worry about the 80-kilometer zone through.
No.
Through there.
I can see
the motorway at the moment. It's flowing smoothly. that's your point of reference.
Yeah. That's a pretty hilarious clusterfuck, that tunnel.
Oh.
Have you walked through it yet?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going through on Sunday.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's great. It's great civil engineering. I really admire it. It's quite remarkable, but to build a tunnel that is projected to make traffic worse and then to have to put traffic lights on a motorway to compensate for it seems like a bit of a flaw, really.
Slow down. It's also the single most expensive bit of road, maybe the single most expensive civil engineering project in the history of New Zealand.
Yep.
It's not like this was cheap and also bad. This was the most expensive thing we've ever built and bad.
Yeah.
It'll make it easier to drive to the airport. That's all I care about. Not necessarily faster, just easier.
But you should be taking a train to the airport, Dylan. For fuck's sake!
With everyone else, I don't think so.
Look,
I mean, I was thinking this morning, I was going to Kingsland this morning.
With the pause?
Well, no, exactly. I was heading to Kingsland, and I thought, if there was a train for me to catch, I would have been on the train in a heartbeat because I had to drive, because I had to take some extra crap with me. And it's just hateful, just sitting in traffic, being one more car, being traffic rather than sitting in traffic.
Yeah.
Total nightmare.
And you can't do anything while you're doing that.
No, if there was an elevated train running down the middle of State Highway 16, I would probably walked from my house to it, or worst case, parked further down the peninsula.
You would have Ubered.
Why wouldn't you ride your bicycle to it, to the station?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You use Uber.
I would have lifted to it.
I would have used Uber because I think everyone's being a ninny by they're cutting off their noses to spite their faces by refusing to use Uber.
So here's the thing: there's a podcast I've listened to for a long time called The Dollop, who did a great episode on Uber recently, and I came out of that with two thoughts about it. One is I don't want to use Uber because they're terrible, but the second one is if I want to destroy Uber, the best thing I can do is use Uber because every time someone takes a ride, they lose money.
Oh, they're running at such a crazy loss.
They are the most, the worst returning, worst revenue company in the world. Like, they have lost more money in a short period of time than any company ever.
It's like every single one of their drivers is operating. What's the opposite of internal combustion? Like a steam. Every single Uber is like a steam engine driven car, and they're just shoveling stacks of cash into fuel the engine.
I didn't realize it was that bad. Really,
they lost like $800 million or something higher. A huge amount of money, massive
losses. Per year though, it's
what's
per year.
What's their path to profitability?
Their path to profitability
is they destroy everyone else.
They destroy every taxi company and then increase their prices to a sustainable level.
Yeah,
I think that's the path.
It's literally that.
What's interesting to me about the whole thing, the way they've gone about it, is kind of like philosophically, catching an Uber is, you know, well, yeah. So catching an Uber is a much nicer experience than riding in a taxi.
It's so good.
Usually.
Yeah, 99% of the time. And the only way to make that happen is to cut through existing regulation. And so what's going in my head is it only like horrific bro culture and startup kind of, or Silicon Valley, we're better than everyone mentality that allows you to cut through regulation to that degree? Like, is there nothing else that can, I guess, motivate the public to say, hey, taxi regulations, we want them, we want licensed drivers, all that sort of stuff, but we don't want, you know, the rules around pre-booked pickups and, you know, ride-hailing apps, that we want those changed.
I mean, maybe, but,
yeah,
you know, those aren't the only regulations they're breaking. Like, they, in well, many I mean, states yeah, in like the US, they left, the reason they don't operate in Austin, in Texas, for example, is because they refused to do proper background checks.
Oh, well, that's
with
crap,
fingerprints.
But I mean, New York is the classic example, right, where there's a limited number of taxi medallions, right, which is pretty much a profit-generating thing. So, like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's just that general.
Well, the taxi experience in New York's not bad, though.
Of does it always take, you know, a bunch of kind of, I don't know, hard-charging kind of heady Silicon Valley people to break through this sort of regulation?
Yeah, everyone's all about disrupting things and stuff. But, you know, I seriously, listen to the Dollop podcast because it's hilarious and horrifying.
I mean, they recommend what, Ride and Go, which is not even a thing yet.
No, I mean, there's, you know, and arguably Lyft isn't much better, but it's at least a little bit better.
Yeah. We're so bad at this now. What's next on the agenda? We don't have an agenda.
I got distracted and started looking at shit I bought from Amazon, from AliExpress.
I was tweeting using one of my sock puppets.
Oh god!
How many do you have?
Oh my god! I've got so many. So many. Probably 15.
So are you going to be there?
Don't say it. Don't say the obvious one that will get me in, because there's one that will get me in deep shit one day, and then there's a bunch of others that I'm very happy to.
You're at Josie Campbell, right?
Don't tell me you're Swift on security.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
It was the greatest day of my life when she followed me.
I
unfollowed Swift on security because the signal to noise ratio was just so shit. So I only follow Pwn Everything or whatever it's called, which has got similar kind of security stuff, but doesn't just have the crazy rambling about other bullshit that Swift on Security does. I'm not Swift on Security.
I'm so disappointed.
I'm no popular Twitter account.
Neither am I.
Hey, bullshit. You got the that's the other thing. We didn't talk about your big story. Big documentary thing, and you're like you're getting into lots of festivals and maybe nearly getting close to the list for like the biggest thing.
Okay, so what happened since we last, I made a documentary because I didn't even finish it when we last spoke.
Yeah,
I made a documentary and then it got into Sundance and then it got distribution and got sold to HBO and then it opened, so now we're into like May last year. Then it opened in the US and the UK and Australia and New Zealand. And then it played on HBO and we made like a little 20-minute mini sequel.
Which I still haven't seen. Tickle
Cats. It's on the Rialto channel. It's also on iTunes for, like, I don't know, $3 or something.
Dylan.
I'll flick you a link.
Thank you.
I don't know if I have
it. I've tried to look on, you know, the back of a truck. Yeah, I've tried to look a couple of times and it's just not there.
No.
So it can't be that good.
I think it's still a little under the radar. It's only really screened. Oh, it's only really screened on HBO.
Yeah.
And then the guy at the center of it died.
That is such a surprise, eh?
I mean, in a sense, yes.
But looking at him, no.
But exactly. Like, he wasn't a healthy guy. Like, but it was awful because, you know, that 100% not how we ever wanted that story to end.
Yeah.
Like, what we wanted to see was some level, I guess, of accountability. You know, like him being held to account by an authority, or him at the very least accepting something himself, you know, like just even some sort of actual personal acceptance of what he was and what he'd done.
Yeah.
None of that. We'll never get any of that.
Yeah.
And then we released an article on the spinoff on Monday that sort of covered what was happening with Jane O'Brien Media now, and how we might get sued by a dead man.
Just is that possible? That's so that. Weird.
Yes, it is. It turns out in New York State and some other states in the US, active and possible litigation is considered an asset of the estate and can be continued.
Yeah.
How did that other dude get hold of the laptop with all the recordings on it? I presume it was just left to him in the will or something.
I don't think it was specifically left to him. I just think there was maybe some sort of arrangement that if anything bad happened, that it would be collected and delivered to him.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Just guessing.
DeMarta didn't even have the decency to pull a Michael Hutchins. It was just like a normal heart attack, right? There was nothing.
Yeah, as far as we know. There was I haven't spoken to anyone who was there at the time, but yep, that's what the information we have said.
The thing that's like, I can understand why you and your pussy mate are getting sued, but the mother-in-law, that just seems so unfair.
That's the worst, right? But there's a whole lot of undeclared stuff about the animosity between he and her. I think there was always, you know, I don't know. I'm speculating wildly, but I think there was maybe always some resentment or something, or he wasn't, you know, her biggest fan at any point.
Yeah.
And then, like, when she says in the film, at the end of the film, hashtag spoiler alert, she says, on a phone call to us, she says, I'm afraid of him. And she's not talking about being physically afraid of him. She's talking about she's afraid that he will try and destroy her financially, legally, and take everything from her that she's, you know, inherited from his father.
Yeah.
Which is arguably what the $40 million lawsuit ended up being.
Right. Ah, terrible people.
Yeah.
It's such a shame because it's tickling. It should be like the nicest aspect of furries. It's like, oh, it's so cute that these people have found this thing that they're into. And then we should all just kind of chuckle about it.
What's that thing furries call it when they rub on each other?
Yiffing?
Yiffing, that's it. I wonder if Kawana still listens. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with tickling. Like, as a fetish, it's really low key.
Yep.
And apparently really popular, especially I now find from having some saved searches on Twitter.
Mm.
Man, there's some columns in my tweet deck that if I happened to have them scrolled across and visible on my screen at work, I could get in quite a lot of trouble.
Mm.
There's a lot of porn on Twitter. Did you know that?
I guess so. Well, there's all these different communities, right? Like there's weird Twitter and this is oversimplifying. So there's weird Twitter and then there's like I'm sure there's like 15 different Philippines Twitters and there's black Twitter. But there's also like porn star Twitter where like girls and presumably guys who do porn stuff post like photos that they've taken on set and stuff. And some of them are super gross.
But there's actually like straight up like you know, animated GIFs or, you know, whatever we call them now of actual porn being posted, you know, with links presumably to websites and stuff. But like if I scroll across to the tab I have or the saved column I have in TweetDeck for Tickled, like currently the second tweet from the top is a straight up pornographic image.
Right.
movie. And I'm like, this is a surprise. I had no idea this was on there.
It's a big surprise. And yeah. like, if you had another column next over from it that was like, I don't even know what it would be. Like, there's straight up race hate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All over it.
And this then, is why we this is why we went with hashtag tickled movie, not hashtag tickled, because we did some quick searches on that. Right. Oh, no, shit, no.
But, so how would you, like, if you were Twitter, how would you fix that? Like,
I don't know. How would you fix anything on Twitter?
Well, you know, you don't necessarily need to fix the porn, but how would you fix the race hate and
well, how, I mean, but the narcissism. Problem, because like, someone, I saw a tweet the other day that said, if you think Twitter can't deal with Nazis, then consider the fact that they block them in France and Germany. And to prove that, there was a screenshot of the American Nazi Party website, which says, from a German user, or sorry, the American Nazi Party Twitter, screenshot from a German user that says this content is blocked in France and Germany.
Yeah. Mm.
Which is fine when it's the American Nazi Party, because, you know, it's the American Nazi Party. And I suppose anyone who openly identifies themselves as a Nazi is probably going to be blocked.
Yeah.
But that's not the, that, you know, that's the very low hanging fruit.
Yeah. The other day I saw someone who literally used like kindergarten playground insults.
Oh, the poo bum thing, or the smelly bum.
Yeah, he was like, your bum smells.
Yeah, to the Nazi Party, right? Person,
and he got a timeout. Yeah. Right? Because he didn't even swear, but he used these, you know, these very childish insults against literal self-avowed Nazis, and he got a timeout. And that's Twitter's response, right?
It's and you see some of the crazy. Some of the fucking disgusting hate that goes on online and that doesn't get tackled. But then the other thing is, like, so then people put systems in, like, you know, like, you see horrible things and people get reported on Twitter and nothing happens straight away, and you're like, well, why can't you just, like, you know, if 10 people report it, why don't you just suspend them until you figure out what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, until we work out what's happening.
Yeah.
But so then look, Facebook does that, and that's been weaponized by fuckwits.
Yeah.
So, you know, Emily Wrights, who runs the Spinoff Parents.
Yep.
She wrote a column on Spinoff Parents about vaccination, why vaccination was good.
Oh, God.
And then every single thing she posted on her Facebook got mass reported for copyright infringement, I think it was, by anti-vaxxers. So she just couldn't use Facebook anymore. Everything she did was immediately removed.
But it's like the solution to that is so obvious. You put a flag on the account of people who are targets of the, like, you check the first,
yeah, you hope so,
but you check the first notification, and if it's really obviously spurious, and then another one comes in and it's obviously spurious, you flag that as a.
But then how do you account? Like, that's fine, but that's a human interface thing. Like, so if you are trying to communicate with a human at YouTube or at Facebook or
so, I was listening to
getting humans.
Yeah, Kara Swisher's podcast just recently, and it's interesting because there was a chap on there, I wish I could remember his name, but he was, you know, talking about this and asserting that they just have to, they do have to hire a bunch of humans, and the thing is, they're getting, this is Google, Facebook, Twitter, everyone else, getting away with making a shit ton of money off content at massive margins because they don't have the infrastructure behind that content that a Washington Post or a New York Times or a Guardian or a BBC has. And that the reason you don't get, you know, race hate on The Guardian or The Washington Post is because it's run by humans and humans choose what to post. And I'm not, you know, he's not saying that.
I don't know. Have you read the comments on those websites?
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Is that if you're going to post, you know, host, you know, hours and hours and millions of words of content with no human intervention, you're going to make a lot of money, but you're also going to not be able to maintain the quality.
Well, see, there's the flip side of that is YouTube, right? Which, I mean, everything on YouTube, in fact, all social media is now. It's a report. It's an accept and report. So you accept content, and then you go on a reported basis to try and find infringing things.
Yeah.
And if they weren't doing that, like if YouTube were proactively, or anyone was proactively ahead of time approving content, then they lose a lot of legal protections.
Oh, and for YouTube, for all of these big...
I mean, there's also the impossible...
scale things, it's impossible. Yeah. So but, YouTube, actually, it's funny you mentioned them. They've just announced that they're changing their policy with hate speech. So stuff that doesn't... So they've got a definition of hate speech. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but they've just declared that other stuff which as inflammatory religious or supremacist content, but that doesn't quite fall into their definition of hate speech, which I guess is just immediately removed, will appear behind a warning page, I guess a warning will pop up, and they will they can't be monetized, and you can't make comments on them, and you can't endorse them. So that's something that YouTube's just announced that they're going to do, and that's going to make it much harder for some of these YouTube
this
channels.
This is all basically PewDiePie's content, basically.
I was going to say Total Biscuit, but
poor old PewDiePie. That was bullshit. That was such bullshit.
It was a little bit bullshit, but he was very deliberately
towing a line.
You know, kind of in the way that Donald Trump was courting racists without being overtly racist.
Yeah,
was kind of saying things realistically, yeah. He knew certain people would interpret certain ways.
I don't think that's true.
Well that's... no, I mean, I think it's like again, when I said right back at the beginning that I used to think 4chan was harmless trolling.
Yeah.
I think, you know, just like it's absolutely not harmless trolling when it turns out that, you know, you can build a political movement around that. I think now that you know that, I think it is pretty irresponsible to muck about in that area.
Well, there is a lot of people who court a certain demographic with, you know, little nudge nudge wink wink things, and that is difficult to deal with.
So the PewDiePie one that really exploded was when he got those, I don't know, Bangladeshi or whatever guys to hold up a sign that said what? I can't even remember what it said. Oh, Hitler did nothing wrong or something.
Nothing wrong, I think.
Like. The reason that he did that was that he was, and God, everyone's gone through this already while we were off the air. The reason he did that was it was the most preposterous and offensive thing that he could think of to get them to do, and they just did it for $5, right? They just did it. That was the whole point, that he did it because it was such a terrible thing that it's unbelievable that people would do it for $5, and they did anyway. The point was that people will do anything for $5 on the internet these days. And who was it? The Wall Street Journal or someone? They totally failed to understand any aspect of it. No, none of the subtlety of it was available to them.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessary. I can't remember. I watched a bunch of stuff about this at the time, and there were other people making the point that that it wasn't as simple as that. There were other things he said in other videos where it's the same kind of thing, where he's kind of, like I say, kind of courting a certain audience with not necessarily, you know, not saying things that would necessarily supporting them completely, but just kind of echoing some of their memes and things like that. You know, kind of like,
yeah,
kind of like when the Republican Party was, you know, posting Pepe and things. Yep. Like, they weren't really saying that we're white supremacist fuckwits, but they were kind of saying, hey, we know a bunch of people who kind of are amused by this, and we think they'll like it when we do this. That there was a bit of that sort of stuff going on with PewDiePie as well. He got shafted, but, you know, he was kind of playing with fire a little bit.
And he was in a position with 50 million or whatever subscribers and already having made tens of millions of dollars that it doesn't really matter what happens from now on.
Yeah.
Like, nothing that happens again in his life really, really, really matters.
But I think...
other people were also caught up in the aftershocks of that. The kind of the scandal of all of these, you know, slightly edgy vloggers who are saying, you know, pretty adult stuff. They got fucked over as a consequence of, you know, the Wall Street Journal or whoever beating up on. Go on.
Does Fox watch YouTube videos yet? Like,
absolutely, you know, absolutely does.
Trains hidden under plasticine and shit like that.
I don't. If I see him watching any of those toy vloggers unboxes and stuff, I stop that. Because those are just the worst. Those are the worst.
My kids watch a lot of YouTube, and a lot of it is fine. And then, God, it's just so frustrating, though, because there's a bunch of, like, you know, Minecraft channels and stuff that just, they'll be fine, and then they'll turn into something else.
Yeah.
Like, it's complicated. The nature of YouTube or any social media, any user, what are the user-generated content, UGC?
Yeah.
It's all over the place. And I don't think there's any solutions.
It's this thing where we have, without signing up for it, got into a position where we say, okay, it's fine for YouTube to have largely or entirely unmoderated content available to a wider audience than TV, and then kind of what are surprised that zero moderation results in you know, things being presented to the people that are watching that are completely, I guess, you know, abhorrent or even just inappropriate. And the reason is that, you know, there are such huge margins in there for people to run this stuff unmoderated that they do.
Yeah.
And it's something we've accidentally signed up for.
Through the looking glass,
there's no coming back.
It's very easy not to see that stuff because, you know, my YouTube homepage is not the same as anyone else's, right? Because it's all algorithmically generated. They build it based on
Casey Neistat, wall to wall for yours, isn't it?
Oh God, look, I do watch all of his stuff because his stuff is really good.
Casey Neistat and Linus Tech Tips.
Oh my God, I do watch Linus Tech Tips, but I hate it because Linus is
so fucking annoying.
He's annoying, but he's also like pretty incompetent. Like he constantly drops shit. And he buys the wrong stuff and he recommends the wrong stuff and he talks about the wrong... But look, he's successful. So, you know, I can't, you know, I can't throw too many stones at any of these people who've got, you know, maybe millions of subscribers. But then, oh my God, can we just... This is totally a non sequitur, but Movies with Mikey only has like 50,000 subscribers and it should have 5 million subscribers. The dude
isn't it weird when you find something on YouTube that doesn't have nearly enough subscribers?
And he's up for an Emmy nomination this year. He's that good. He doesn't have an Emmy nomination. There's apparently like a pool of like these people might be nominated. And so I guess the Academy or whatever decide who gets the final nomination and then they vote on that. I don't know. Here's just the most amazing, and he almost died like 3 months ago. Like he literally nearly died. He was in hospital and he almost died. And now he's making new things every bloody week again. And they are the absolute best reviews, I guess sort of reviews of movies. It's not really reviews because some of them are from like 30 or 40 years ago. And he kind of goes into some really great depth. Just find Movies with Mikey and find your favorite. Think about what is your favorite movie and see if he did it. Maybe if your favorite movie isn't in there, think about your favorite movie from the last few years and see if that's in there. And watch what he has to say about your favorite movie or your favorite movie from the last few years. And you possibly will cry if you're a massive fucking baby like me. And if you don't, you will still, I am 98% sure, you will love it. And you will be like, holy shit, I need to watch a whole lot more of this guy's videos. And then you'll look at how many subs he's got. And you'll be like, how is it possible that this guy only has 50 or 60,000 subs? No way. 71,000?
71,000.
He's gone up about 20,000 since he got the Emmy nom.
I'm also going to suggest Captain Disillusion.
Chainsaw Suit Originals.
Oh, don't watch the other stuff on the channel. Watch Movies with Mikey. Yeah.
I'm going for Captain Disillusion as well.
Captain Disillusion's pretty great. Yeah.
He's got a lot more subs in the last year or so, but he was just not getting his dues for a while, I think. And another one I really liked recently is Binging with Babish.
Slow down. Let's talk about Captain Disillusion.
His most
recent one where someone's like, "Hey, I've done the takedown on some of these recent." So the idea is that he looks at like viral videos. And he goes through the way that they faked them and he finds all of the mistakes.
And spectacularly well.
It's so polished. Like the way that he presents it is cheeseball, but then if you have any appreciation for the work that he does that normal people won't see. Like he presents it with his face half painted silver, pretending to be an
alien. No. His face is half painted flesh colored.
Okay. The most recent one he did was someone else did a takedown on, I guess, a couple of videos with like
fake tape measure tricks.
But then you realize what he's done to like put himself into the same shots with the tape measures and stuff, and it's like, holy shit, this guy is so talented
at the effects that he's taking.
He is so smooth and so polished. You're absolutely right to recommend Captain Disillusion. What was the other one?
Binging with Babish.
I haven't heard of that one.
So he's this guy, Andrew something. He's made a series of cooking videos, and he basically just finds food and recipes from TV shows and movies.
Yeah.
and kind of tries to recreate them as best he can, and then sometimes make what he thinks is a better version of the same thing.
Right.
And it's just really well, it's like, it's one of the most well-made cooking YouTube show things I've seen.
Nice.
Right. So good.
Funnily enough, a completely different track. Alec Steele. He is a young, fucking, what do you call it? Someone who makes steel stuff.
Oh, I know this guy. He's a ironmonger. He's a blacksmith. Ironmonger.
Yeah, Alec, A-L-E-C.
Oh my God, this is so weird that I know who you're talking about. And he talks about his automatic hammers and stuff all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, he's just like, again, it's just an ironmonger and he bashes out knives and stuff and makes like, you know, you know, all sorts of interesting things. But he's incredibly polished and his videos are incredibly well made. It's just, it's amazing.
And the way amazing how watchable, how watchable people hitting hot metal can be.
Yeah.
I've watched a number of. I have no particular interest in ever making a sword or a knife, but I've watched quite a few videos of people doing it.
Colin Furs. You put me onto Colin Furs.
Colin Furs is amazing.
Isn't it hilarious how he's made like 40-foot fire tornadoes and a 600cc incredibly unstable Dodgem and that sort of stuff, and then he dug a hole at a beach and people are losing their minds.
But they're right, that was so dangerous.
It was dangerous, but I mean, is it more dangerous than the other stuff he's done?
Yes, I think it is.
It was a good video. Me, I just watched that and go, oh, that's right, beach huts are a thing in the UK.
Yeah,
it's weird, isn't it? Like, we just have batches near the beach.
My kids like, and I watch sometimes, is what's it called? King of Random.
Yeah.
That guy, I don't understand how he hasn't set fire to his house.
But he's gone off the boil.
Seriously injured himself.
I don't understand how he's got the audience he has, because I find him just pretty much insufferable.
And especially lately, when he's like, I was going to say, you know, like Jake Paul.
He's getting some pretty serious hate on his recent collabs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I sometimes watch Jake Paul just because it's so hilarious, or Logan Paul because it's so hilariously bad.
And the other one is the backyard scientist. I'm like, how does that guy keep all his eyebrows?
How about the slow-mo guys? That's not a tip. Everyone knows about the slow-mo guys. I apologize. I'm sorry.
A little disappointed they blurred. They blurred his wang in the last episode.
That's so true.
Yeah, so from the initial blurring...
Dylan Morgan and Ben's audio-only YouTube review.
Audio descriptive. Let's talk about Eater. We'll describe people talking about food.
Podcast and just cut straight to YouTube recommendations.
Brilliant. It'll just be the same shit, though, because I only watch a few channels.
I watch a lot of channels, and people will hate almost all of them. They'll hate them all. Because the thing about YouTube, it's so big that whatever it is that you're into, it's there.
Yeah.
What pisses me off about YouTube at the moment, though, it used to be that the homepage recommendation algorithm was more broad before.
Yeah.
Like, it used to show me more things that were new to me or you know, kind of interesting. Now it only shows me a few channels I've watched recently, basically.
Right.
I don't get new stuff anymore. Yeah. It's very annoying. And it keeps showing me the same videos that have been there for ages.
Unbox Therapy and Dude Perfect, you mean?
No, neither of those.
No one should ever watch either of those guys. I mean, Unbox Therapy, I guess, is a guy, or Dude Perfect is like a group of buffheads. No one should watch any of those videos.
I think we should also take a moment to appreciate that there are people out there whose job it is,
yeah,
to find ways to find creative and visually interesting ways to destroy the latest iPhone.
Yeah.
That seems to be but how they make their living.
You say you shouldn't watch Dude Perfect, though. For some reason, they are on my homepage. I disavow it.
Reason.
But 11 hours ago, new video.
You subscribed and you hit the bell, didn't
how
you?
How many views do you think their 11-hour-old video has got?
1.7 million.
Let's try 7.2 million views.
Holy shit!
I know. It's like...
There are YouTube people who have merch.
Yeah.
Like at Walmart in the States, my kids bought a Dan TDM t-shirt.
I don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
He's a Minecraft vlogger.
Holy heck. And it was at Walmart.
It was at Walmart and Target. We also found them at Target. And you can get Dan TDM action figures.
think how much bank Dan TDM is making.
Shit tons.
Absolutely. And so I wonder whether, that's like, brilliant. You know, Dude Perfect and Dan TDM and all the rest of them are raking it in after the you know, after the whole ad reallocation thing that's going on.
Yeah, yeah, it must be. Must be. Because yeah. Video Game Donkey would have got fucked by that, and he's the best game guy.
Why is he just too profane?
So I can't like, if Selena hears his voice, she demands that I stop it, because like, if Fox is even in the house, I can't really watch them. He's so good. He's hilarious.
Who's there's the Minecraft video, like the Stampy long nose or something.
Oh Jesus.
Fuck. That's a children's one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. Basically, they love it, and he is the most annoying voice. Even more annoying than EEV blog.
I don't know what that is.
He's an Australian electronics blogger.
Right.
Vlogger. Right. He's got a very nasal Australian voice.
All right, we should probably get back to it after this.
Yeah. This minor divergence into YouTube. Don't know what happened there.
But actually, okay, before we leave it, I want to say, and I think I said this probably last time we all were together, which is years ago, I fucking love YouTube.
It's so good. And it's got better. You know, just in terms of the quality of content and the kind of effort that people are putting into it.
Anything that you're into, you can find. And like you say, polish, right? Anything you're into, you know, for years you've been able to find something. And, you know, maybe it was updated, you know, every month or couple of months. Now you will find something where you get polished stuff between 1 and 6 times a week.
Yep.
And it's all good content from actual experts, either kind of self-taught or, you know, real kind of university experts.
Can we talk about, though, I mean, yeah, you're right, absolutely, when I was doing some electronic stuff, I could learn all about how transistors worked from YouTube. But can we talk for a minute about, like, instructional, when you go and, like, search online about how to fix something or how to open something, and you just get nothing but YouTube links, which are, like, 20 right. minutes long, and all you want is a 5...
This was the biggest, my biggest pet peeve, because, like, doing video stuff, like After Effects and doing video graphics and things,
yeah.
It used to be... that I'd find a web page that had, and the same with Photoshop, I'd find a web page that had like 20 screenshots and descriptions of what it was.
Yeah.
And now it's a 35-minute YouTube video. And I'm like, fuck this. I can't. Yes, I understand. You're going to create a new concept. Yeah, open. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Remember to like and subscribe.
Yeah, like and subscribe.
Hey, before I get started, can I just talk to you about Audible?
Fucking Audible. Oh god, man! All the podcasts I listen to all have the same ads as well. Blue Apron,
do you think
Audible, Casper mattresses.
The fact that we've drifted off news is because it's intolerable, and that
I just don't care. No. I don't read. Also, I can't stand the New Zealand Herald website now. It used to be the only news website I visited.
Yeah, it's tough
because I didn't like the Stuff website, and now I dislike the NZ Herald website even more.
It's tough. It's difficult because, like, people don't want to leave their site being the same old, same old. They want to try new stuff, and they're right to try new stuff. But I feel like the direction that they're going in, everyone's seen the NZ Herald beta site, right? I think
it's not the beta site anymore.
Well, whatever. Is it not still marked beta?
No, it's the live site. You go to NZHerald.co.nz, you get that site.
It sucks. It sucks. And now my Chrome extension, which marks all of the shitty content from Daily Mail.
Daily Mail.
That thing doesn't. I don't think that works anymore. So now I don't.
No, I've only visited the NZ Herald website like 3 times since the change of design. So I hadn't even noticed that part of it.
It's really terrible. Yeah.
So let's point out then what a fantastic job, given what we were talking about earlier, what a fantastic job newsroom.co.nz has been doing.
Yeah.
Is doing. But will they last?
Well, they've only got, 250... It's not Patreon. What's the site that pays to news publishers in New Zealand? It's News Patron or something. What are they called? There's a news one, and Public Address were the first one to start using it, and I think...
Press Patron.
Press Patron. They've only got 250 press patrons. Do they have advertising?
Not that I can see, but then again, I'm using uBlock.
No, exactly. Like we wouldn't know if there was advertising on there. Presumably, they've got advertising.
So for the longest time, I resisted putting an ad blocker on my browser because I want to support the websites I visit.
Yeah.
But so many websites were becoming virtually unusable with all the bullshit ads and stuff.
Yeah.
That I was just, I think it was for a while I was trying to read Sydney Morning Herald website for a couple of things.
Yeah.
And it was borderline unusable.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of security risks with ad networks and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So I put uBlock Origin on, now I don't think about it.
Yeah, you're right. Google have said they're going to do a lot of stuff, including blocking their own ads on certain types of page.
Mm. And so there were, what was it? There's something about responsible advertising or something like that that they're trying to promote.
Yeah. Well, look, they're right, because advertising doesn't work when pages are full of advertising. Advertising might work a little bit if there's a couple of ads. You know, it might, but it doesn't work when there's 20, because people, you know, find themselves in the position that Dylan and I found ourselves in, where the internet was broken by advertising, and so we blocked it. But by blocking advertising, you break the internet, because someone has to pay for journalism, right?
Well, and just random shit that's on the internet that's fun.
Right, but, sure, but random shit's just fun. But journalism actually can save your civilization from, you know, the people that want to lead us and do a terrible job at it. You know, journalists are kind of our front line of defense against the deplorables and the Barclays and so on, right? And it was Newsroom. This is why you mentioned Newsroom. It was Newsroom that you know, broke the story about Todd Barclay's
so well
misadventures. Yeah.
But
I've given them no money, though.
No. I will.
It's a hard life. I subscribed to The Guardian, I think, sometime after Trump, just because I thought, you know.
Got to support someone.
Yeah.
When my Metro sub runs out, which I think is in like September or something, I'm probably going to put that money into the spinoff.
Yeah, the spinoff does pretty good stuff as well. I'm very impressed with.
I really like spin-off. Simon Wilson's stuff, and I realized after he stopped being the Metro editor and kind of main, frankly, I think main kind of contributor, I realized I didn't really like the Metro anymore. And you know, but when you're a subscriber, you've obviously prepaid, but
you're in there.
But like, but without him, there's basically no way that I would continue paying for the Metro. For Metro. And I don't like a lot of the stuff on spin-off. And I feel like I don't like Duncan Grieve that much. But Simon Wilson is now on spin-off and he's publishing more than he ever did when he was with Metro. And Joe Say's on there and a bunch of other people that I really like. Toby's on there. They've got a bunch of podcasts, some of which are terrible. Unlistenable. And listen.
Well, we can't really be throwing stones.
We are very out of practice. But someone, who was it? Hamish Campbell pointed out the other day how polished Discourse was compared to basically every contemporary podcast in New Zealand. And it's fucking true. We worked
the most polished podcast.
We worked very bloody hard on having really good production values. And it, you know, sometimes I got overexcited and did the corned beef beat for like 25 minutes. That did happen. You know, we did do that stuff, you know, but on the other hand, we also spoke to some, you know, really interesting people at enough length to get the whole story and people that no one would talk to normally. What, Hambeast? What was her name? Her real name?
Did we talk to Liz Shaw?
Yeah. Yeah. So she wanted to be the mayor of Auckland before. Oh, we didn't talk about my campaign for Waitemata local board.
Did you get the votes matching your Twitter following in the end?
Way more. So the reason that my avatar has the 3,000 on it is that I ended up with bang on 3,000 votes. But I needed
3,000 on it?
Yes.
Huh, yep. News to me.
Yep. But I needed like 6,500 to be like the last in to the
YAML. Oh, that's not as much. Okay, that's not bad. That's achievable.
Considering I did basically nothing. I'm pretty happy. And next time
I expect nothing less, but actually I'd expect nothing more.
You were a white male in a list of people to vote for, so you probably, you know, that got you 2,800 maybe votes.
With a name that starts with an A and appeared at the top of the list. Not a coincidence.
I've done over 3,000. Look at that.
Yeah. Wow. I'm extremely grateful, and man, a few things might be different. Frankly, if I'd gotten in, I kind of want to run for Eden Albert though, because
Does that mean you have to move house or something?
I don't think so. I think that you have to be in the area to vote in the area, but I don't think you have to be in the area to campaign in the area.
Okay. I mean, I suppose it's the same for like electorate MPs, right? They don't have to live there at all. They can just
That's right. Stand. So the reason I do it is because I have been a long-time supporter of the, I don't even know what the group is actually, what the long name is, the Save Chamberlain Park Golf Course Group.
Citizens of Ratepayers.
It's not anything like that. It's the most working class possible golf course, and probably not in New Zealand, but in Auckland. It's like one of only, I think, two public courses in Auckland.
Yep. Auckland and Takapuna. Yeah.
And I think it is a strategic asset, and it certainly shouldn't be up to a local board to decide what to do with that size of land that is actually
school on it.
Fuck off.
Oh, there's sandpits there already. Kids love sandpits.
Fuck off.
But like, I mean, you know what, honestly, is
there
it,
are other like, sports grounds all over the place, including very close to that, and recreational grounds. Western Springs Park is right across the road. There's no shortage of free open parks, and as long as that place stays a golf course, it's protected for us to do things with it. I don't think now is the time to do anything with it. And what they've proposed doing with it, with sports grounds there, is not what I think in the long run should be done with that bit of land. And I think keeping it as a public golf course is about the best possible thing, best possible way we can protect it.
Do we need to have a discourse golf or a discourse round of golf?
Well, actually, you know, funny you say it, because that's where we played a couple of times, didn't we, Dylan?
Yeah, we've played
Chamberlain
there.
Park.
Yeah.
Not for a long time, but...
very long time ago.
So you think that's still the case when you're going to have another 5 million Aucklanders in 20 years' time?
Yes, well where else are they going to play golf?
There's a green space.
Where are they going to play golf, Ben?
They can pay the golf membership.
But what if they're very working-class people, or if they're, you know, middle-class people, but with unbelievable mortgages that leave them with... you know, very much, not nearly enough money to pay on a, you know, a country club or whatever we call it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because you won't be able to consolidate all the rugby fields when rugby goes out of fashion, when Sky can't afford to pay for the rights anymore into a golf course. So I feel you.
Yeah.
Are you able to watch rugby still on Cody Sports?
On what?
Cody Sports.
Yeah. But you can't make, like you just pointed out, you know, there's no prospect of ever making another golf course anywhere near Auckland, right? It's never going to happen again. So maybe we need to protect that kind of thing. Just like I think we need to protect certain types of business, like maybe some kinds of, even as simple as bakeries, but certainly some of the classic Auckland pubs, I think they should be protected somehow. I think there should be some kind of rates deal, or some kind of, I don't even know exactly what form you'd put it in, but like there should be some kind of heritage categorization of certain types of cultural, strategic cultural assets.
You mean like the St. George Sports Bar in Papatoetoe, or?
Oh, look, I'm not, like, I mean like the glue pot.
Right. But that's, again, like...
missed the boat on that one a little bit.
Well, exactly. But I'm sure there's a whole lot of other examples. And, you know, Empire Tavern and so on, right? Which they're not that big bits of land. And once they...
They're also not very working class, to be honest. Like I say, if you... Yeah. I don't know where I'm going with this, but something gentrification.
Gentrification is good or bad?
I mean, it's bad in that the people that used to go and hang out at the pub get ousted by young hipsters and their music.
Okay. What?
Well, no, I mean, like, you know, like you say, saying preserved tradition.
I'm not talking about changing patronage. I'm talking about all these things being bold and replaced with shitty Nelson Street style apartment buildings.
Right, right.
And being left with, like, literally nothing in very large parts of Auckland that isn't, that like there are, you know, Nelson Street is probably the number one example, right? Like, you walk down that street, and, you know, if you can bring yourself to stand the car fumes, or if you're on a bicycle, if you can risk all of the delivery trucks in the bike lane.
Yeah.
And there's nothing left at street level, right? There's just nothing there.
But, I mean, won't it come back with
lobbies?
But those buildings aren't, they're not designed to allow for anything at street level.
Yeah.
And, no, and I think that the cycle, you know, the natural cycle of development must be decades, right? Like, you're not going to smash down a brand new apartment building or townhouses or whatever to build multi-use structures any sooner than, like, 50 years, 80
years?
Well,
you know, so when they build them, right, they give them a lifespan, which is, you know, 50 or 60 years.
Yeah.
And then they extend it because taking a huge building down is so difficult.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's no good reason.
Yeah.
Like, no one deconstructs tall buildings unless they absolutely have to.
Yeah.
Or they fly planes. Take a walk on. Like, so blow them up pretending that they were really hit by a plane.
Oh, yeah, good one, right. Okay. So Parnell is actually a really interesting example of some of this because I don't know if it's been protected by the expense of land or it's been protected by the small size of the sections and the difficulty of getting adjoining sections. But there are parts of Parnell Road where there are maybe 5 shop fronts in 10 metres. Some of them are so small and so narrow. If the lighting was different and the air had a different kind of humidity and je ne sais quoi, you'd swear that you were in Southeast Asia somewhere. And that's brilliant because small shops have small rent and it means that you can have funny little specialized weird kind of places that do things like one of them is a cobbler.
But it's, I mean, it's all just a function of density and, you know, I guess rezoning, right? So by getting more people in the city centre by going up, not out, then,
yeah,
you know, you get more people demanding more facility and then you just have to, you have to build it.
But where do you build it?
Oh, I mean, you find space.
Where do you build green space?
Oh, not green space. I mean, you're talking about, you know, pubs and venues and
certainly pubs. Yeah, absolutely pubs.
All that sort of stuff. Yeah, they'll come along with the people. The
thing about pubs, though, is that it kind of has to have age on it.
When we grew up, there was no convenience stores in the city at all. And now they're everywhere because there's people living there.
I don't think we've lost much to convenience stores, though. But, I mean, like, the golf course thing is still a good example, though, because you can never get that back.
Never.
You can imagine the Auckland Council trying to buy, you know, 120 houses to build a golf course.
I think it'd take a lot more than 120. What's the hectares of Chamberlain Park?
No idea. I don't understand land area. But, you know, like, never happening. So once it goes, it's never coming back. It's the same with any...
32 hectares.
Same with any... With any of those things you're talking about, like the pubs and venues, like once they go, they're never coming back.
Yeah.
Even on... when I lived in K Road, I remember the Family and Naval was still this weird old pub on the corner of Pitt Street.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not that. Now it's a strip club.
Right.
And I'm like, it doesn't really matter, but like, was it maybe more interesting as a pub? It's never going back to being that. I don't know that we have to keep them all, but there does seem to be some benefit in having some semblance of these things.
Yeah.
But then I guess if they become economically unviable or people just don't want to run them anymore, or people don't want to visit them anymore, then, you know, there's no point trying to arbitrarily preserve them for the sake of it. And I guess if no one were visiting Chamberlain Park to play golf anymore, then that would be fine. But whilst people want to play golf there still, I don't know. Seems reasonable to keep it.
Yeah. There's still a lot of... There's going to be people listening to this who are like, you're an idiot. It should be housing. Well, the proposal, I don't think, is for it to be housing. Okay, let's get that straight. I think that it's basically, it's fucked. It's going to get chopped up and there's going to be 9 holes there and it's going to be a total mess. And
you still get to play golf.
Yeah, but it's not real golf. Real golf is 18 holes, right?
Well,
real golf is 18 holes. Like, if it was a driving range, is that golf? If it was driving range and a putt-putt, would that be golf? Oh, it's still golf. Shut up, it's still golf. Pay your fucking green fees. Still golf. Shut up, you elitist. But the people who are like, have this wrong idea about... There are people who have the wrong idea about two things, many, many things, but two things that I'm going to pick on. Golf in New Zealand, which is a very working class sport, if you went and watched the people playing at Chamberlain Park, a lot of them are not white. A lot of them are just, you know, everything. It's a hodgepodge of people of different social strata, different ethnicities, and different, you know, apparent wealth based on, you know, the type of golf fucking club covers that they've got on their shitty clubs, you know. The other thing is, I'm sorry, Dylan. I know you hate it when I talk about fishing.
I don't care. I don't hate it. I just don't care.
It's because you've never fished with someone who knew what they were doing. I'm telling you.
I like boats.
And
just the stopping and fishing bit that's boring.
Okay, but I think the thing is that you've fished, but you haven't caught.
Maybe, but no, still, not really.
Fair enough.
Probably don't like eating fish that much either, so it doesn't appeal to me on that
end. Recreational fishing is worth something like $1 billion a year in New Zealand. People are not fucking around with recreational fishing, right? They're fucking around, but they don't fuck around while they're fucking around.
What's the $1 billion? That's like, are we talking about expenditure on gear and bait?
I think it includes buying boats as well as bait, as well as tackle, as well as charters, as well as maybe getting a bag.
Licensing, is it? Because there's no licensing or anything for recreational fishing.
There is licensing for freshwater fishing, but not for saltwater fishing.
Right, cool.
Yeah.
That's all. I was just curious what that meant.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone likes fishing.
Yeah, but the thing is that it is also a sport or a pastime, whatever, that covers a very wide group of New Zealand, every type of New Zealander, like the very richest and the very poorest, or you'll find many fishers in all of those groups. And it's the same with bloody golfing in New Zealand. And there's this funny cadre of effete urban liberals who are like, they're like, passionately anti-sport, and they'll include golf in sport, and they just never tried it. And fine, you don't have to like every sport, right? But they also don't understand who the audience is. They don't understand who the participants are, and they think it's just rich 60-year-old white men who are being subsidized in their dumb, boring sport by the council providing them with this park. And it's fucking bullshit. It's every kind of Aucklander plays golf, and the place that they can fucking play is at Chamberlain Park. If you want to play league or rugby or cricket, there's probably 1,000, or softball. I used to play softball, and there's a park nearby there where there's a bunch of softball grounds. Fucking softball, is that really that big in New Zealand? Well, actually, fuck face, it is. It's really big. People don't know how big different sports are. Everything else is catered to, because you can do it in relatively smaller parks. Even golf, even cricket, which, you know, requires a pretty big open ground, or the boundaries are a joke, right? There's heaps of cricket grounds around Auckland.
There's an Aussie Rules Oval in Northcote.
I know, that's crazy, isn't it? Isn't that bonkers? Aussie Rules. For fuck's sake, Aussie Rules. There's places where people, the only thing they do is walk dogs sometimes, but they play baseball. Baseball! That's like the least New Zealand sport you can imagine. Even less so than Aussie rules, which at least is from this part of the world, right? There's basketball courts everywhere you can find one.
Did you know every Mormon church has a basketball court?
There's probably 2,000 basketball courts in Auckland. There's 2 public golf courses. And this one local board, with winning the vote by one vote, right? It was like 5-4, the vote. has decided that they want to chop up one of only two public golf courses. So well, they're very lucky that this hasn't exploded more than it has, because because people have been pretty bloody polite about it so far. But I hope it explodes more than it has.
I was going to say, what you should do is run for local government and try and change it.
What a well, good plan.
Well, it's going to be done in this term, and it's not in my local board area. I ran in my local board area. Like, my entire life, apart from a little while where I ventured out into Epsom and Balmoral, I've lived in Waitemata my whole life. All over Waitemata. I've lived in Westmere and mainly in Ponsonby and in Parnell and Kingsland my whole life. So why would I stand in Eden Albert? That's where Chamberlain Park golf. Is. So why is it that, you know, this regional park, which I think it should be considered, has been decided by one little local board? I don't think it should have been. And there's 5,000 of us who think it shouldn't have been in this group trying to save the park. You know, there's actually a few of us trying to do this. But it's hard to get traction because a lot of people are just like, oh, fuck off with your golf. Mate, I haven't even played golf. And when did we last play there, Dylan? Because that's the last time I played there.
Oh, Christ.
10 years ago?
More than. Before I had kids. I haven't played golf since I had kids.
So I've played a little bit over at Coromandel because there's a small public... Actually, it might be a private park, but there's a very small fee to play there. Very, very, very terrible ground at Coromandel. It's awful. It's in a gully. Oh, my God, it's so bad. So I haven't even played at Chamberlain Park in a long time. But I still think that it should be protected because it is a regional resource, not a local resource. And local boards should stick to local shit. Anyway, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, listeners, as well. If you're in Wellington, especially, or Christchurch, or if you're overseas, I'm really sorry that I went on about the golf. I'm really sorry. Obviously, I care a little bit about it, a little bit too much.
Cool. Well, that sounds like all the things. We've gone through our very carefully curated show notes now.
This is the first time with zero show notes whatsoever, right? And so how did that go? Was it good?
That was just, it was so well organized. Just
brilliant.
We haven't gone over 5 minutes, eh?
No. I can't see the timer at the moment.
So. Are we recording?
Shit.
Is there anything anyone else wants to be passionate about?
Once I stop this, I've got to wash dishes, and I fucking hate washing dishes.
Ah, well, let's keep going then.
Let's keep going.
I don't have anything to be passionate about, really.
Actually, I don't hate washing dishes as much as I hate folding laundry. I did that yesterday, so it's not too bad.
I just, you know, the way I get around not liking folding laundry is I just don't fold laundry.
I see.
Just haul it into a pile in the bedroom.
Yeah. So I take it out of the dryer, and you know that scatter you kind of have to do because it's still a bit humid?
Yeah.
Everyone does that scatter, right?
Mount Washmore.
Yeah, right. So you sort of you hold it up pretty high and you sort of scatter it. I don't think it does anything, but you scatter it and then I just run off.
We got a real good dryer, so we don't have to do that anymore. It's fantastic.
Oh, we've got a good dryer as well, but I don't put it on the make everything super dry mode because I think it takes ages longer.
Oh, who cares? Walk away, come back. It's all done.
Okay, but...
Magic.
Say again?
If someone made a dryer that folded things, like somehow if they came out folded,
yeah.
I would pay almost any amount of money for that.
No, you wouldn't.
I would try and pay almost any amount of money. I mean, at some point, obviously, my credit card would get declined or something, but...
Would you pay $10,000?
I'd consider it.
That would actually be pretty cool, eh?
So especially if it could do fitted sheets. Just imagine that.
Selena can do fitted sheets.
Fitted sheets.
And it baffles me. She learned how to do it from Martha Stewart.
I've watched YouTube videos on folding fitted sheets, and they still end up as a scrunched up ball, and I end up angry.
All right, well, listen, she gets out fitted sheets, and I say, no, get a fitted sheet, and then she unfolds it, and it's a fitted sheet. That's how good they are.
My mother-in-law, when we moved into this house recently, my mother-in-law helped put away some laundry or something, for some reason, I needed to get a sheet out, and I pulled one out, and I was like, needed to get a flat sheet. I pulled it out, and I folded it, and it was a fitted sheet. I was like, what the fuck?
And now you can never get that folded back up.
No, I just balled it up and stuck it back in the closet. And then I did the same again with another one.
Melanie must have been stoked, because I assume it was Melanie that folded them.
No, shit, no. It was my mother-in-law.
Oh, okay. Right.
She can't fold them either.
Right.
We're both as baffled as each other on fitted sheets.
Right. Well, you know, robots and machine learning and all of that stuff is possible. It's going to make some stuff which is very... very difficult, much more plausible. And so maybe your sheet folding dryer is going to be plausible.
I really hope that somewhere, probably in Japan, someone's working on this.
You know that it's in Japan. Yeah, it must be.
I mean, there is a shirt folding model, right?
Yeah, but you can get things that fold, and you get like tools to help you fold things. But I want to put a load of, you know, damp washing into a machine.
Come do you back, even want to have to change it over
and folded?
Do you want to change it over, or do you just want to put dirty clothes into a box and it washes and dries and folds them?
I am willing to physically pick up wet clothing and put it into another machine. That's as much as I'm willing to do. Anything more than that?
How about if there was a third box? So there's a washing machine and there's a dryer, and then there's like a hopper that you drop stuff in and it folds it.
Yep, no, I could do that. Especially if it could sort my kids' clothes.
Yeah,
because I still frequently put t-shirts in the wrong kids' drawers.
Oh my god, this is another thing that I can go off about. I apologize, but so Wonder Woman is suddenly massive.
Yes.
Now, shortly before that, because you know my son's not been alive for, you know, that long. Shortly before that, he decided that he was way into Wonder Woman because I think one of his little friends was into Wonder Woman. And then he was into Wonder Woman way more than she was. And I got an Iron Man and a something else, and a Batman and a Wonder Woman figure. And I let him choose which one he got before his birthday, and it was Wonder Woman. And that surprised me because I also got him a lightsaber, and he didn't choose the fucking lightsaber. What an idiot.
Oh, man.
Right, how do you choose not a lightsaber? Crazy, crazy, crazy. But he's always Wonder Woman. If I do anything a little bit scary, like if I pretend to be a ghost or a monster, he's Wonder Woman and he fucks my shit up. And he says, I'm going to kill you, I'm Wonder Woman.
And so it's an interesting thing that I've observed with our kids, for the most part anyway, that sort of behavior was cool. They were all into, like, I don't know, Wonder Woman and shit, My Little Ponies and pink things, until they go to school.
Primary school?
Yeah, school fucks it up. Or even kindy, actually, but mostly school.
I was very hard on some of the women at daycare using shitty language. Because I dressed him in whatever I thought was fun when he was little. And some of them would say shitty things about, like, his pink hoodies and his rainbow. Oh, actually, I got some sleeves off you, I think.
Yeah, baby sleeves.
And I think some of them were like rainbow, and I think some of them could work as like ankle warmers. And so he'd have like ankle warmers and metallic gold sparkly sequin shoes. And they stopped saying anything pretty quickly when I made it clear that regardless of what things might be like in Korea or the Philippines or wherever the fuck they're all from, I'm not going to tolerate them saying shitty things about kids who are doing stuff that makes them happy.
Yeah.
And it basically never came back. One of our
small humans enjoys, or quite likes, fairly flamboyant things, pink things. He's got big rainbow, like knee-high socks he's really into wearing.
Yeah.
He's got these sort of pinky gold jandals that are his favorite. He wanted to get some very sparkly shoes recently.
Yeah. You have to get them in the girls' section.
Yeah. No, he saw them, he was completely enamored with them. But Mel said, well, I'm not going to buy you shoes that you don't ever wear, so you'd have to wear them to school sometimes. And he's like, oh.
Right. So this is his flag that he flies, but only when he's not at school.
So some of it he's fine with. Like he'll wear a pink button-up shirt to school. But there are some things that are, you know, he's finding his comfort level. But it's interesting to watch because you're like, there's a part of me that's like, oh no, don't do that, because that's, you know, that's kind of, people are going to give you a hard time about that. But there's another part of me that's like, no, sweet, find what you're into and totally be into it.
Yeah.
But I just don't want, it's hard to kind of not want to sort of protect him. So the best we can do is kind of say, hey, that's really cool. Just remember, some people are dicks.
Yeah.
And just consider how much of other people's dickishness you want to deal with at any given time, basically. But it's, you know, it's fucking annoying to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing with Wonder Woman. So there's loads of stuff with Wonder Woman on it, but it's like in otherwise really girly There's really girly, you know, stupid kind of cliche girly elements have been tacked on. And I want boy shirts with Wonder Woman on them.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Totally.
Like boy cuts, things that haven't got like weird extra bits of lace tacked on, because I don't know about you, but I don't see a lot of fucking lace on Wonder Woman's outfit. You know?
No, just nipples.
Are there nipples on her bodice?
I think so.
No, you're thinking of Batman.
I'm pretty sure Wonder Woman has nipples.
Are you sure?
I'm now going to type Wonder Woman nipples.
Can we talk just for a second about the Wonder Woman movie?
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
It's amazing.
I'm just typed.
All right, me and... Well, Dylan, you're not going to participate. Me and Ben are going to talk about this.
Okay, no spoilers though.
Well, this is a slight spoiler.
Oh, no, that was a mistake. Wonder Woman nipples and Google Images was a mistake.
How stupid is it that there's a sex scene? That actually pissed me off.
It did put me off. Although, it put me off, but then also, is it not a... where did I go with that? Like, suspension of disbelief that she wouldn't be interested in experimenting.
Yeah.
I guess that's where I came from. But I think it was kind of unnecessary.
The stuff in the boat where she was talking about how men were like useless at pleasure but necessary for procreation, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But then to come back from that and be like, okay, well, he's going to be useless at the sex part and you're not trying to have a baby with him, so why are you fucking this guy? Well, I guess it's love, right? It's just about love. Like, she's developed intimate feelings for him, I guess, you know, whatever. But still, it was like, no! It was like in Rogue One when they're in the elevator and it's like, no! What are you doing? Don't look at him like that! This is not the kind of person you are! And plus, Dylan, no spoilers. They all of them die. Everyone dies.
Of course.
Everyone dies.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I've run out of steam, to be honest.
I've got steam for everyone, but I'll save it for 18 months from now when we reconvene.
Yeah, it'll be episode 2.
Except we can't really do that because we kind of have to do this a few more times before the election so that we have some... We shake off the rust a bit because it's going to take a while.
This is true.
See, now and I thought about the selection tier thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, it was fun, but God, there's so much work we have to do for it beforehand.
Oh no! There's so much work that you have to do for it beforehand.
Is that what I meant? That's what I meant.
We can't not do a Discourse election show because we do the best election show.
I know, but the graphics are such a pain in the ass.
It's your ass.
Again, not helping. Doesn't make me any more excited about it.
How about if we give you at least half the cupcakes, which I assume we'll have?
Oh, so I'll get all the national ones then.
There'll be so many national cupcakes. Oh, it's going to be a bloodbath.
This is something I can be slightly passionate about. Like, because one thing is, no one's going to listen to this because it's fucking an hour and a half into the podcast, but
everyone
I just don't
listen.
See any way that a Brexit / Trump / Corbyn, you know, grime for Corbyn youthquake is going to happen in New Zealand. Everyone's just so apathetic.
No, it's not about apathy. I think it's about... you're right. It is about apathy. It's about... Because the thing is that Andrew Little is not the type of personality to...
But I don't think it's his fault. I think it's just that there's not the... I guess the weight of what do I call it? You know, like
the desire for change.
Yeah, the inertia behind it. Yeah.
Yeah, partly. Yeah. But we had the same conversation going into the last election. The Labour Party is an uninspiring political party.
Yeah.
They are an uninteresting opposition.
Yeah.
And often very ineffective opposition.
Yeah.
And they are uninspiring. Like, ask me to name a Labour policy and I can't, except the dumb ones, or except the half-baked ones like the recent immigration one that just is a bit wrong.
Wasn't that requiring that everyone be paid a living wage and that what's it called when you learn to be a chippy kind of on the job? What's that called?
Trades. Apprenticeships.
Apprenticeship. Yeah. And that people do apprenticeships. I think that's a pretty good policy.
Okay. Well, that might be, but I don't know. There's just... The thing is, they're just, I don't know, they're not interesting. And then the Green Party, which is maybe a slightly more interesting party, slightly more inspiring, seem to have more energy, but also have a lot of baggage about being the Green Party.
Yeah. And they won't get their balls out for marijuana law reform. Or yeah, tits, or whatever. That, they won't get their gonads out.
Where does that land politically?
I think it's actually pretty popular now. There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of people who are in favour of change, certainly to medical marijuana.
I wonder if Labor and the Greens took a distinct pro-marijuana legalisation, decriminalisation, whatever it needed to be, policy position. I wonder if that would overall gain or lose them votes.
I honestly don't think it would make any difference. I think that people care more about other things, and a lot of people kind of believe the line. We have a very stable country, and people, I guess, don't want to upset the apple cart, even though there are some things which are being done so very, very poorly. The government really should be churning out affordable housing by the 10,000, right? Because that's basically the only people that don't have a profit motive, all the other property developers are like, why would you build 500 houses here when you can build 50 and sell them for more? Get a bigger margin on each.
Totally.
It's only the government that can take that less profit driven, more social driven approach. And the Nats kind of talk about doing it, but they don't really do it. And Labor didn't bloody do it last time, did they? I believe that they would probably do it, though. I think they'd do something much, much more tangible than the Nats have done. I don't know that people. What is the word, Ben?
For.
Well, you didn't quite have it before either. It's on the top of my head. Just that kind of the
inertia.
Yeah, that thing. Anyway, that thing. I don't know if that thing is there, but. We're despoiling our waterways, we're depleting our oceans, and we've got homeless people and people sleeping in cars and children, sleeping in cars and not having enough food, and it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible right now. It's really terrible, but it's terrible for people who don't vote.
Yeah. Well, again, I was thinking the other day, what's our New Zealand equivalent of grime for Corbyn? How do we get the, how do we get the youth vote out? Because that's what's going to fix it.
I don't think we do with the political parties we've got at the moment.
Yeah. Is the Opportunity Party going to do anything?
No.
They'll be bigger than ACT, though, right?
Their position isn't their position at the moment that they don't necessarily want to win seats, they just want to make sure that discussions are being had.
I respect that.
I think that's their current position.
Yeah.
I don't know that they've got, I think they have a bigger hope down the line, but I think that's where they're at this year.
Yeah. Gareth Morgan is a cock, but he's right about so many things. He's right about cats, and I feel like his kind of not quite Colorado marijuana decriminalization proposals is way better than most of the others have come up with. Even the Greens are only talking about medical marijuana.
Yeah, it does seem like a bit of a cop out, that they're only talking about that.
Yeah, just do it. Just do the Colorado model. Go for it. Let people grow however many, and let licensed people grow, in commercial scales and sell to licensed retailers and just have at it.
Yeah.
Because people are already smoking weed, but the gangs are getting rich off it, and they're getting to push other more dangerous drugs, and we've kind of got the worst of all worlds right now, But anyway, never mind. We can talk about that another time. We have to do. So are you saying you don't want to do an election show, Dylan?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, oh my God, there's so much work.
It's gonna be hard.
It is hard, eh? It is hard. I don't mean to be glib when I say it's your ass.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Of course, I haven't saved anything from the previous one, so I can't do that again. And then I have to figure out how to get the election data again. Oh, God, it was a pain in the ass.
I'm most excited to hit stop recording on this one and see whether it actually uploads successfully or whether we've just lost everything.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to make a podcast, we're trying a new thing called Zencaster. Z zencastr.com.
I bet we've
it looks
it
promising.
I bet so I bet there's a configuration option for like the bitrate, and this is on like 8-bit.
I've got it set to MP3 rather than WAV because I've got shitty ADSL here. I didn't want to have to try and upload all the.
Well, shall we see what happens then? Hit the button and we'll see, because we have to sit here for 10 minutes while it uploads.
See you next time. Thank you very much for listening.
See ya.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.